Hello, and welcome to Social Media Marketing GPS, a series of American Marketing Association podcasts to help you build a roadmap to social media success. I'm your host, Nancy Piccala, Director of Online Content for the AMA. Today's podcast is the seventh in a series of podcasts on trends and best practices in social media. Joining me today is our moderator, Toby Bloomberg, author of a new ebook, Social Media Marketing GPS, A Guide to Social Media One Tweet at a Time, featuring 40 of today's most influential thought leaders in social media. Toby is a recognized speaker on social media and is a frequent presenter at a number of AMA conferences and events. She also serves as moderator of the AMA's Interactive Marketing Online Community. Toby's blog, Diva Marketing, at divamarketingblog.com, is included in the Forbes list of top 20 marketing and social media blogs by women. Her company, co-branded with her blog, Bloomberg Marketing Diva Marketing, helps the people within organizations join the digital conversation to create corner grocery store relationships without getting blown up. You can also follow her on Twitter at Toby Diva. We're also very excited to welcome our special guests for today's podcast, Beth Hart and Dana Vandenhuvel. Beth Hart is a marketer, blogger, speaker, communicator, thinker, connector of both people and dots, adjunct professor, and client services director at Serengeti Communications, where she helps clients with their social media strategies and markets the digital brain trust that is Serengeti. Beth is actively involved in the social media conversation and speaks at industry conferences and events, where she discusses marketing, public relations, and social media. She is also an adjunct professor at Immaculata University. Beth shares insights on how organizations can be customer-centric at theheartofmarketing.com. She also shares the occasional marketing, PR, and communications rant at Nitty Gritty Marketing. You can also find Beth blogging at Social Conversations, Endless Plain, and the Marketing Prof's Daily Fix blog. Connect with Beth on Twitter at Beth Hart. That's BethHarte. Also with us today is Dana Vandenhuvel, who is the founder of the marketing consulting firm, the Marketing Savant Group. An award-winning marketing blogger, Dana is also the author of the American Marketing Association's Market Tech Guide to Marketing Technology and their Guide to Social Network Marketing, and the creator of the AMA's Techno Marketing Training Series, Advanced Social Media Training Series, and the B2B Social Media Training Series. Dana is a widely recognized expert on thought leadership marketing, social media, blogging, podcasting, RSS, internet communities, and interactive marketing trends and best practices, and speaks at over 50 events each year on these and other marketing topics at industry and private client events. Dana consults with dozens of clients each year on social media and marketing strategy. Recognized as one of the 50 people you should know by the Green Bay Chamber of Commerce, Dana serves on several advisory boards for nonprofits and community organizations in and around Wisconsin. Dana is also an adjunct professor at St. Norbert College and teaches a course on social media and thought leadership marketing. He is also a member of the National Speakers Association, the leading organization for professional speakers. You can learn more about Dana at marketingsavant.com, that's MarketingSavant, and you can connect with him on LinkedIn and on Twitter at Dana Van, that's DanaVan. Toby, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Nancy. This series has been great fun for me. Getting to talk to all the people that I've interviewed, it's been a blast, and I thank AMA and I thank you. In his intro to social media marketing, GPS, Shel Israel tweeted that people would learn the essence about social media in digestible little spoonfuls. So in keeping with that short format, we're going to try to hold our conversation not to 140 characters, but to about 14 minutes. In Chapter 7, Social Media and Branding, Beth and Dana answered a big question in a series of short but easy-to-understand tweets. That question was, what makes a brand social media smart? So welcome, Beth and Dana, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Toby.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. As we've done throughout the series, we'll begin with a few tweets from the chapter, and then we'll go into a more in-depth discussion. So I'll kick it off with some of the tweets from my intro, and then Beth, since your tweets came first, would you pick it up?
Sure.
And then Dana?
Sure thing.
Great. Here we go. A brand for a company is like a reputation for a person, Jeff Bezos. No matter how diligently marketers work to create a brand, it is defined by the customer's perspective. This always was and will be. Understanding leads to trust between customers and people in orgs who are the heart of the brand, SM helps validate brand values. Social media offers unique opportunities for customers and companies to share in the creation of a brand by working together. SM pulls away the Wizard of Oz curtain to reveal true brand values, benefits, and honest customer expectations. Relationships rule. SM demands that authentic brand be woven into the fabric of all tactics, see Chapter 6. This is not the same as messaging. SM strengths builds and nurture relationships where customers feel connected with the brand because they've helped create it. Beth?
Brands that are social media smart tune into rating scales, conversations, and more, and aren't afraid to engage when something is negative. Brand equity takes a lot of time to build, and companies have the ability to quietly address or not customer feedback and challenges. The days of companies having the ability to quietly handle customer feedback, positive or negative, is coming to an end. Customers now have a voice, and they use it. And when customers use their voice, they want to make sure that somebody is listening, even if it's that guy or gal at the next computer. Social media smart brands know that if a customer is having a neutral or negative brand experience, they could be swayed by online comments. Social media smart brands listen, engage, and address any online comments or conversations that could affect the brand loyalty of others. Companies need to accept that they no longer control the brand equity or loyalty, and they need to embrace those who do, customers.
Dana?
Social media smart is being social media approachable. Approachability in social media is born from confidence in social media. Confident, self-assured, and differentiated brands are most capable of being social media smart. Those with weak brands have little or no chance. Smart brands integrate social media into their service regardless of what they sell. Not doing so is ultimately a disservice to customers. Those brands need to realize that their employees, all of them, frontline all the way to the janitor, are part of the social media equation, empower and enable them. Social media smart brands have sorted out the three R's of social media: risks, resources, and rewards that they expect. Twitter is a perfect example of people's comfort level with the beta economy. Smart brands always work in beta and are always improving on social media. Brands see social media with faith or fear. Faithful brands that trust their customers are successful. Fear has no place in social media. Finally, social media smart brands will lead the charge for equal engagement like small businesses did with Yelp.
Thank you very much. As I said before, this is like listening to Tweets on Tape, and I think it adds another dimension, and it reminds us also that social media is not just text, it's also audio and it's visual. So let's dive into this conversation about social media branding. We've seen a lot of companies, you mentioned the fear factor, Dana, we've seen a lot of companies back away or dive into it with that fear factor overhead almost like a mask. But social media is really changing how we're doing marketing, and it's also changing what we're calling branding. Let's take it from that point of view first. How is social media changing branding? Anybody?
I'll take this one first. I think the biggest thing, and Dana and I both kind of cover this from a fear perspective in how branding is changing, but oftentimes you'll hear, you don't own your brand. You'll hear a lot of people say that, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I think how social media is changing branding is you ultimately own your brand identity and you own your brand messaging. What you don't own are those relationships or that brand equity, and how that brand equity is being managed. What I mean by that is if I'm a fan of your brand and I'm online and I'm using word of mouth to share my experience online, you can't control me. You can't control what I'm saying. You can't control whether I ramp that up or ramp it down from an equity perspective. But what social media is really helping brands to do, and I think this is an amazing thing, is that if you're listening and you have listening posts set up and you're analyzing the negative, neutral, positive sentiment that's out there about your brand, that's the first insight in a, probably in forever that companies have had to say, whoa, our messaging isn't working. Maybe we need to analyze what's being said about our brand and what our customers really think our brand is and change our messaging accordingly. Now, we've also seen from a changeability perspective how it's backfired on Pepsi several times between their Tropicana rebranding and their Gatorade rebranding. So it's really important to tap into social media and listen to what your brand evangelists or even people who don't like your brand so much, what they're saying, and use that data, which we've never had access to before, to really manage your brand.
I think further to Beth's point about the Pepsi examples with Tropicana or Gatorade, the opportunity to go out there and, you know, as Tom Peters might say it, you know, fail fast forward, social media just accelerates this process of dynamic branding. And if you agree with some authors that really the brand experience is the next frontier in differentiation, I mean, we're beyond products, we're beyond service, we're beyond features and benefits, and, you know, there's so many similarities in the things that we can buy, be it cars or refrigerators or orange juice or what have you, that, you know, people in so many ways are using the brand as a shorthand for what they're going to buy. Yep, I get this brand, I like it, they resonate with me. And if resonating means relationships and it means connecting, then I think any brand that wants to stay top of mind and stay relevant to their base of customers or members, donors, you know, whatever you call constituents, has no choice but to really forge those relationships in a means and in a medium that's current and up-to-date and relevant to everyone that they serve, and that means they have to be somehow engaged in social media, I think listening, absolutely, but also really out there expressing their personality as to, you know, on a daily basis, here's who this brand is and why they exist and why this brand is still relevant to you, Mr. and Mrs. Consumer, you know, each and every day, because, again, we have this just plethora of choice, and, you know, when we look for, I need to make a decision, where do I go, you know, that brand carries a lot of weight, and it carries more weight the greater that relationship is that we forged. And I think, you know, this year, next year, and 10 years down the road, those relationships are going to continually be in digital and social media.
So we're really not talking anymore about let's call the brand experience, we'll call it the logo experience, put that in quotes, but we're really talking about the human experience and how companies are using social media through the voices of their own employees and through the voices of their customers as well to create that kind of relationship. So taking off on what you both have said, how do you help your customers to help you create that brand through social media tools?
Well, what we do at Serengeti is we, especially if it's a client that's new to social media, is we help them first by doing some audience research or some buzz monitoring to see what kind of conversations are going on out there about not only their brands but competitive brands and what kind of conversations or concerns or questions that are going on. And from there, we would build a solid social media strategy so that they're not just diving into the tactics, right? A lot of times you'll see people diving into Twitter or Facebook because maybe somebody in upper management has seen some tweets or have been concerned about some conversations out there. But by doing audience research and creating a smart plan, then there's a roadmap, and it's a measurable roadmap for engaging in social media from a branding perspective. And oftentimes, you know, you're depending on how many brands you have to manage within an organization, sometimes the social media efforts don't always stay neatly in the marketing department or the communications department. It could affect sales or customer service. And also depending on the type of company, especially with a lot of consumer goods, branding is oftentimes the department that's driving the messaging and the marketing efforts. And so we see a lot of different departments joining in social media efforts, because the one thing that you'll notice with social media is it levels the playing field. Customers don't care who is responding as long as they get a response. And a lot of times they don't want to talk to the logo, sort of like what you mentioned, Toby. They want to talk to the human and a human voice, and they want to have a transparent, authentic kind of conversation where they're not being pushed a product or service, but really engaging in some sort of experience.
I think, too, it's a lot about the culture that the organization brings to bear on social media. There are some organizations that, and you know, we've said this all along, that I think are probably not right for this space, just like some organizations wouldn't use direct mail and some organizations won't use television. Some organizations don't have the culture, perhaps, to really put those brand stewards, and as Beth said, social media in its fullest expression really goes well beyond the branding group and well beyond the marketing department, and customers really want to connect with any human being within the organization as long as they're getting a response, and as long as that person, be it from engineering or from facilities or whatever department is most relevant to them, can really satisfy whatever need or issue that they came to address through social media, whether it's someone tweeting to Starwood Hotels about, you know, my room's too hot, my room's too cold, you know, room service this or that, and they're responding, or to any other organization, it makes sense to really turn those employees in the organization into, at some point, social media stewards. And maybe that doesn't mean you turn every employee out, you know, with their own Twitter account or, you know, responding in a live person or in a blog. But at the end of the day, just like every employee who walks through your door in the morning and out at night is a steward of the brand, and they affect the community they live in, now they affect the worldwide community. And you really need to have that culture within the organization, or develop that culture so that everyone understands that those interactions they have online are even more powerful in some cases than the interactions that they might have, you know, at the corner grocery store or after work or at the company picnic or sponsored event where they're one-to-one. You know, now they're one to millions, and that leaves a potentially larger impact.
And not only does it leave a larger impact, but it leaves the onus on the management of an organization to make sure that its own employees understand its brand values, its brand promises, and what really that culture means internally, as well as how to bring it out externally. And with that, our time is about up. Before we leave, would you please let us know, Beth, where people can find you on Twitter again?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Beth Hart, and that's BethHarte.
And Dana?
You can find me at Dana Van, DanaVan.
And I am at Toby Diva. And with that, Nancy, where is AMA located, by the way?
We are located at marketing_power. So we please encourage you to follow us there as well. Well, thank you very much for all of your insights today. These were really, I think, great tips for our audience. We've been talking to Toby Bloomberg, Beth Hart, and Dana Vandenhovel today. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you for listening to this edition of our AMA Social Media Marketing GPS podcast series. I hope it's been a good learning and listening experience for you. Look for information on other upcoming podcasts in this social media series by visiting marketingpower.com/podcast. And make sure you sign up for our feed on Marketing Power so you're aware of all the podcast series available to you. You can download Toby Bloomberg's ebook, Social Media Marketing GPS, A Guide to Social Media One Tweet at a Time, by visiting divamarketingblog.com or the Social Media Podcast Series page on our site at marketingpower.com/social media. Until next time, I've been your host, Nancy Pichela. Thanks so much for joining us.